lying. We laid the foundation for this last week. We looked at Acts chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 in last week's class, and we talked about the fact that Ananias and Sapphira, they both lost their lives. They had lied when it came to the subject of giving. And I said that was going to likely lay a foundation for today's class, and that turned out to be true. We wanted to talk about lying. You might not think that lying is a subject which the Bible has a lot to say about it, but it does. Old Testament, New Testament, and some of the passages that talk about lying, very, very interesting. And we'll try to use some passages that are familiar and some that are not so familiar. I did offer a definition or two of lying, engaging in deceit or falsehood. One source also defined lying as the exact opposite of truth. We've got here some passages. You see the four major sections that we want to look at in this study. Some introductory material. Why do people lie? I've given some reasons there. We'll maybe have some options given or some possibilities given from the class as far as why people lie, how God sees lying. And then finally, we'll conclude with, is some form of lying ever justified? But let's pick up some passages here that we have under the introductory section. Numbers 23, verse 19. Proverbs 25, verse 18, and then also from Proverbs chapter 26, 28. Let's get our first three helpers lined up. From the book of Numbers, chapter 23, verse 19, who wants to take that one? All right, Lois, and then we'll head somebody back to our first Proverbs reference. That'll be Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18. Proverbs 25, 18. All right, Jeff, and then Margaret, if you want to help, let's move you to the next chapter, Proverbs 26, verse 28. Let's go back to Numbers 23, verse 19. Thank you. God is not a man that he should lie. This is very similar to point 8 where I referenced Titus chapter 1 verse 2. We're probably really familiar with that passage. That's where Paul said God cannot lie. There's some things that God cannot do. One of the things that he can't do is lie. But you have that teaching, that principle, that truth also stated in the Old Testament, Numbers 23 verse 19. Here it's interesting because you have really a distinction drawn between man and God. God is unlike man in that what? He doesn't lie. What does that suggest to you about people?
They do.
You know, God says, I'm completely unlike you. When it comes to me, I always tell the truth. You can expect me to be forthright, and I'm not going to deceive you. On the other hand, here's what's true about humanity. You lie. That is a very intriguing statement when it comes to the characteristics of human beings. But we do find from that passage that lying is a huge, huge issue. We also find as we begin, this is point 3, as we begin to go through Scripture, that God not only talks about lying, but sometimes he uses some very strong language. All sin is serious. We've talked before about whether or not the fact that all sin is sin, and there's some truth in that, but also some sin comes with greater consequences. And lying falls into a category where God says, this is going to be really significant. Proverbs chapter 25, verse 18 is one of the texts that points us in the direction of this conclusion. Now think about that. You have three different weapons here. The first one, a maul or an axe. Suppose that somebody comes at you with an axe. What's your thought going to be? Somebody's got the axe or a hatchet raised up and is headed towards you. Well, I think it's time to move. We would count that as a deadly weapon. And then what's the second one? You have there a sword. Can you imagine somebody coming at you with a sword? Every once in a while you see that in the news. There was a news story just a couple of days ago. The cops had to deal with somebody that had a sword. And they said that they gave that guy a wide berth. They didn't want to mess with him. So if you've got a sword, we're going to, you know, kind of cordon off the area because you are potentially dangerous. And then what's weapon number 3? Okay, you've got a sharp arrow, also a deadly weapon. And that's how God describes lying. It compares lying to hurting someone with an axe, hurting someone with a sword, hurting someone with a sharp arrow. And that's probably a passage that we don't use too often. Maybe it's a passage that we don't hear too often. But when you look at that in terms of what's being described, a lie, you have to stand back and say, wow, yes, God does take this very, very seriously. Anything that you want to interject? Okay, all right, that would be how they took the maul, I guess, instead of, but still, if you look at it from a club, instead of the axe, you still have a deadly weapon there. But yes, something that's going to do great, great damage to you. Thank you. Proverbs 26:28, let's look at that next Proverbs reference.
Lying tongue goes
and a flattering mouth works ruin.
Okay, a lying tongue. If people are of that nature or of that characteristic, are they loving people or are they hateful people? They're hateful. Would you say that's true? I mean, if you have a liar, the liar probably would say, well, I'm a very loving person. I love my animals and I love my spouse and I love this and this and this and this. Why is a liar hateful? All right, trust is obviously an issue. Yeah. Habitual chronic liar. Yeah. Yeah. And sometimes people say, well, I was lying to benefit you somehow, but still, it's not loving behavior, it's hateful behavior. But it is interesting that some people act in that manner.
Well, I think a lot of times when lying is a habit,
yes,
that's formed, and sometimes children are in very difficult environments and it kind of breeds lying, and then as they grow, unless they get some kind of grip on it themselves, or get maybe you have to get help about it, it just really is manifested by the time they're adults, and you just can't believe anything that comes out of your mouth. I do think that's a big problem with some of it. I'm not saying all of it, but I think that could be a problem. One of the causes of it. And they're severe liars when they're grown-ups.
It is, and sometimes that forms in youth. I can remember I was on a mission trip one time. It was about 5 weeks out of the country, and a lady that was part of that team as well, I guess at some point deemed that I was trustworthy. So she started to talk to me about one of the kids that she'd adopted. And she made the point that the child was a habitual liar. And it was like Carol what was describing. There were things that it was inconsequential. You know, what'd you have for breakfast? And there was no reason to lie. There was no reason to make up any kind of story. And she said, we've never had to deal with anything like that. And she said, it has been extremely frustrating because, you know, if you love me, you'd at least tell me the truth what you had for breakfast. But I can't even depend on you for that information. And it was just...
Maybe their refrigerator was empty and they were too embarrassed to tell
anybody. Well, had that been one time... But I think what Carol was probably describing was chronic. I mean, it was just...
I mean, we could have breakfast with her and know what she had, and she'd tell us, you know, 2 hours later, well, I don't remember anything ever coming out of her mouth that was the truth.
Yeah, but we've got a couple more references on the sheet that may tie into that as far as perhaps, if not a full explanation, maybe a partial explanation. But it does become ingrained in people, and it is a huge, huge problem. Anybody else? All right, let's pick up our next reference. We've looked at the three that we had lined up. So Psalm 15, 1 and 2, John 8, 44, and Titus 1, verse 2. I think we can skip that one, so we'll look at Psalm 58, verse 3. Psalm 15, 1 and 2. Who wants to be responsible for that? Margaret, thank you. We'll take a look at John 8, verse 44 after that, Kathy. And then we'll take a look at Psalm 58, verse 3. Who wants to be our Psalm 58, 3 reader? All right, that'll be Sherman. Thank you. Okay, now Psalm 15, 1 and 2 is probably a passage that we've heard taught on, heard preached on, probably texts that we're somewhat familiar with. It doesn't talk about lying from the sense of lying. It's sort of a passage about lying in reverse. So let's have that read now. Psalm 15, 1 and 2.
Okay. Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy heap? He who walks uprightly and works righteousness and seeks the truth in his heart.
Okay, God, who's going to dwell in your tabernacle? Who's going to dwell in your holy hill? The liars, right? No, it's going to be the righteous, the people who tell the truth. So here you have lying really looked at from an opposite perspective. So you can look at it negatively, as we've done with three passages. You can also look at it from this alternative direction, and that's also, I think, helpful. All right, John 8:44. Now here again is a passage which is probably very, very familiar to us. But maybe we've not looked at it in this specific way. Lying has a father. Now, when you look at all sin, could you say that all sin has a father? I think you can trace it all back to the devil. But it fascinates me that Jesus specifically talks about this sin, lying, and associates it specifically with one character. John 8:44.
Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it.
Isn't that interesting? He's a liar and he is the father of lying. Now, I didn't try to check this in any detail, but to my knowledge, that's the only sin in the Bible that Satan is specifically attached to as far as being the father of it. Now, by implication, I think we would relate all sin to him, as we noted earlier, but very, very interesting, very, very unique that Jesus takes that sin and attaches it to the devil in that way. Now, you have Satan, the father of lies, so what would that suggest to you about God? Okay, he's going to be the father of truth. And added to that is kind of a footnote. When it comes to lying, God says, how much of it can I be involved with? Zero. So the devil is the father of lies. God the Father says, I have no association with that whatsoever. Numbers 23, verse 19, Titus 1, verse 2. Anything else that you want to add or ask? Glenda? Well, I think you could even, I would go back to them. I'd also go back to Adam and Eve. Not that he killed them physically, but they lost their lives spiritually. And obviously physical death under premature circumstances is never good, but the spiritual is going to be ultimately the worst. Virginia? When you start looking at deception, there may be degrees of deception. For example, if I lie to you about a nickel, that's probably not nearly as bad as lying to you about $1 million. But, you know, even though you can put certain things in degrees, I might beat you, but I don't beat you to death.
That's just like gambling. To me, gambling, if you gamble a penny, you're gambling.
Yeah, sometimes it's just the amount. And you can do that with sin. You can say, well, it's not very much. But again, it's same thing is true with poison. Well, I just poisoned you a little bit. And most people would find that objectionable. You know, rat poison, I think it's only about 1 or 2% of the poison that actually kills the rat. So it doesn't need to be much to really do some serious damage or be sin.
She was talking about murder from the beginning. Doesn't it really go back past that, maybe?
Yeah, there's some questions about that. It's a good thought. When you look at Adam and Eve, he certainly deceived them. Was he able to deceive the angels? That's the question, I guess, that I would ask when it comes to that particular matter. Or did he institute something like a rebellion and say, let's go and we can oppose God? Yes, I would say that in some respects, though, they went into it with their eyes open. Because if a person is going to create a rebellion, now there may be some deceit there, but at the same time, people are given some insight as far as what's going to take place. We're going to rebel against this power, this authority, this nation, this army, and so forth. Do you want to join up?
But isn't that kind of almost like denominational creatures, false teachers, you know, they're deceivers?
Absolutely. Maybe. Like I say, it's a possibility. Adam and Eve, most definitely. Cain and Abel, when you look at what happened between the two of them, yes, most definitely. But you might be able to backtrack that a little bit more and go back to the beginning as far as angels.
Started a war in heaven. What happens at war?
Yeah. Disease. Yeah, well, there's going to be death, or there's going to be some kind of destruction, and people do fall. So that certainly was his characteristic. I mean, he gets his start back there, so to speak. And then you begin to see that play out on earth.
Beginning Trace? Is time. There was no time before the world
right.
And before human beings. So to me, it starts with that.
Okay.
Because that's when time starts.
Yeah. Well, again, yeah, you have at least in principle him being back there. Okay. Anybody else? Did we exhaust the hands? Let's pick up with what we have in Psalm 58, verse 3.
The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as speaking lies.
Now that's a fascinating verse, isn't it?
Yes.
The wicked start speaking their lies how quickly? The moment they're born. Anybody see a newborn? Anybody see a newborn speaking lies?
No.
I don't think any of us have ever seen that. So what's he mean? Sometimes in the Psalms, what do you have as far as speech?
Hyperboles.
You have hyperboles, and a hyperbole is an exaggeration for emphasis. So it's not literally true. But it's a way of saying that if a person is wicked, what characterizes them? They get an early start in life on the wrong road. And part of that wrong road includes what kind of activity? Lying, deceit. And you find that, don't you? Sometimes, you know, 2-year-old, 3-year-old, very early in life, maybe they've been lied to. And you can see the same kind of thing. Do you think people can lie to an animal? Can you lie to an animal? Really? What happens if you shake the biscuit box? And they've associated the shaking of the box with getting the biscuit. And you've done that for a while. And then all of a sudden, Junior decides, oh, I'm going to have some fun. Shake, shake, shake. And then runs and hides in the closet. The kitty comes running in. The dog comes running in. What have you done to the animal? Well, you got it excited. It's thinking biscuit time, treat time. And, you know, you can do that. And you can lie to an animal. So, obviously, an animal is not nearly as advanced as human beings. So it doesn't take much. And people can start that kind of stuff very, very early. And lying is a significant problem. But you do find it. Psalm 58, verse 3. We probably know from point 10, Revelation chapter 21, verse 8, John said all liars deserve what? The second death. Now, that goes back to the point that, I don't know, Virginia or Betty was making a few minutes ago. When you think about lying, some people say, well, it's not a big lie. It is a
white lie.
It is a, yeah, it's a little lie. It's a good lie. It's a healthy lie. I did that to assist people. Well, John said all liars deserve the second death. Then we have two more passages, 1 John 2:4 and Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10. We know the story in Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 10, so let's get that last passage read for introductory section, 1 John 2, verse 4. Who's got it and wants to read? 1 John 2, 4. All right, Kitty, we'll go to you.
He that does not know him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him.
Now, when we think about lying, what generally comes to mind? Somebody says, I was lied to. How do you understand that statement? All right, someone said something to me that was not true. An untruth was given to me. But that's not the sense that we have here in 1 John 2. John says, who else is a liar? All right, the person who doesn't obey the commandments of God. We know God. We're child of God. We love God. And if you don't obey his commandments, John said, you are a liar. Is that a problem? Uh-huh. Because what did we just learn from Revelation 21, verse 8? All liars deserve the second death. Well, if all liars deserve the second death, and those who do not obey God's commandments are liars, then the blank that we fill in there is if you don't obey God's commandments, you are going to experience the second death. That all lines up perfectly. Anything you want to add or ask before we move away from the introductory section? Okay.
Did you make it clear that it's saying in that verse that a person is saying, I know him, but they're not practicing what they're preaching.
If that wasn't made clear, we do need to make that clear. That yes, here's the person who says, I know God, I love him, I'm in a relationship with him, I'm serving him, I'm a Christian, and they're not obeying his commandments. And that could take a lot of different forms as far as the lack of obedience. You could have a person who's just, you know, not doing anything spiritually. They tell you about how wonderful their spiritual life is. Or you could have a person who is involved in some form of denominationalism. I'm a Christian. They're not worshiping correctly. The steps to salvation that they took were not correct, and they would fit into that category too. Glenda?
And maybe Christians don't know sometimes by not studying.
That's true. And sometimes it's that ignorance. Cornelius would fit into that category. Saul would fit into that category. You have multiple people in Scripture, and even now, who simply don't know. And they're self-deceived, but ultimately they're going to end up in that lake of fire unless things get righted. Okay, let's look at that second section. Why do people, or maybe even Satan, lie? I've given you some answers on the sheet, but before we get to them, let's see if we can fill in some blanks on our own. Why do people lie? Sherman?
Protect themselves or not get into trouble.
Okay. Sometimes maybe it's fear of the authorities, maybe it's fear of prosecution, but maybe it's fear of keeping a job, or maybe it's fear of losing someone they love. So people will lie to maintain a relationship, or they'll maintain personal safety, or maintain their assets, whatever it might be. So yes, they lie to benefit themselves sometimes. Why else do people lie?
Make themselves look better.
All right. Sometimes a person knows if information will get out, they'll look bad. So let's lie, let's cover it up, and we'll look good. If that is disclosed, then the person really looks bad, because then the person knows the truth, and then the lie has been uncovered as well. Why else do people lie? All right, sometimes there's personal gain. A person thinks that they can get ahead in some way, so let's tell a lie. There was not too long ago a school principal, you may have seen it, that was investigated by some of the kids, and they found out that the degree came from a degree mill, so that pretty much took care of the principal's job. But the principal tried to stand by that. But yes, you have that. What else?
Sometimes mental disorders can come into this, like a pathological liar or someone who's a narcissist. And again, I'm not giving them an excuse, but like with Bonnie saying, you know, things from childhood sometimes, it can develop the habit, or it can develop, it's almost like a disease to people because they, you know, for all these reasons, they want to protect themselves, they want to protect someone else. And then for the narcissist, you know, hey, look at me,
Sometimes people were not taught correctly, and the mental process was not formed right. Sometimes there may be something in the mind that is not right. Sometimes it might be medicine that causes people to, you know, just blurt something out that's not true. So lying comes from a lot of different forms, a lot of different reasons, and you have some of these in Scripture. Let's knock off about three of them. Jeremiah 28:15, Psalm 62 verse 4, Revelation 22 verse 15, and Romans chapter 1:22-28. Let's go back to Jeremiah chapter 28 verse 15 first. That'll be Gary. Steve, do you want to volunteer for one of these? Let's head you over to Psalm 62, Psalm 62:4, Revelation 22:15. Revelation 22:15, that'll be Betty, and then who wants our longer one? Romans 1:22-28. Romans 1:22-28. Kathy, back to you, thank you. All right, let's go to Jeremiah 28:15 first.
Then said the prophet Jeremiah unto Hananiah the prophet, Hear now, Hananiah, the Lord hath not sent thee, but thou makest this people to trust in a lie.
Trust in a lie. False assurance. Where do you get some false assurances or find false assurances in life?
The government.
Hmm?
The government.
Oh.
If they claim they want to maintain the peace, then they'll feed us a lie. So say the conspiracy theories and movie plots.
Sure. Government has used false assurances at times. Where else do you find it? What about in some jobs? Anybody ever know of a factory where they said, oh, the jobs are secure. You heard that we're going to close. You heard that we're having to scale back. No problem. And you show up the next day and the gate is chained. You think that's ever happened to some folks?
Yeah.
False assurances. Where else do you see it?
Medical field.
All right. You're going to be fine. Uh-huh. We know how that story ended. Where else? False assurances. What about in the home? Kids. We don't know anything about that. Uh-huh. So when you think about lying, false assurances, they've been given for a long time and they still persist. Let's take a look at Psalm 62, verse 4.
They only consult to cast him down from his high position. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly.
Okay, now in the middle of that verse, you have people who delight in lies. Once again, let's see if we can make that practical. Who delights in lies, or when do we find people who delight in lies? Delight in deceit.
Those that like to raise trouble at work by starting rumors.
All right, maybe that. Anything else? They delight in a lie.
I suspect that you believe it.
Yeah, well, but where specifically do you find that? People want to deceive you. They enjoy deception. They delight in a lie.
Politicians.
All right, I think that's probably, boy, we sure suckered them. You know, by the time they read the bill and figure out what's in it, we're going to be long gone. We'll be in retirement. So I imagine that they probably sit back and laugh sometimes. What about in the workplace? You think there's some people who delight in lies? Boy, that new employee, we sure pulled the wool over his eyes. Ha, ha, ha. So you still have that sometimes. People think that lying is fun. And then Revelation 22:15, a related but still slightly distinct point. Okay, there are people who love to make a lie. They find lying desirable. And for a lot of reasons, that could be true. Maybe they find that lying is going to let them, as Jeff mentioned earlier, get something as far as gain. Maybe it's going to make their life a little bit easier. Maybe they feel like that's going to allow them to keep some kind of friend. But lies, sometimes desirable. But lies can have some consequences, and here's a big consequence. Romans chapter 1, verses 22 to 28. Okay, can lies be used to undermine moral standards? Yes. We've seen that in our country, and it continues to be something that's promoted. So Paul makes that very clear in the opening chapter of Romans, and when we talk about lying, that's something that we don't want to overlook. All right, let's see if we can pick up three more references. Proverbs 6:19, Jeremiah 23:32. We'll just highlight Genesis 20 and look at Proverbs chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. Proverbs 6:19, who's going to take that for us? Thank you, Sherman. And then Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 32, Gary. And then Proverbs chapter 26, 18 and 19. Who wants that one? Proverbs 26, Jeff, thank you, 18 and 19. Let's start with Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19.
A false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord among brethren.
Okay, where do we find a false witness that speaks lies? False witness.
All of them. By their very nature, aren't they speaking a lie? They're false witness.
They are, but where specifically we might find examples of that? You're right. The false witness is going to be someone who's lying. But where does that happen?
Among the brethren.
Huh?
Among the brethren?
Well, you wouldn't hope that it happens
in... No, but in court.
Yeah, in court. I think it's probably going to be one of the predominant places that we find it. Did you see this? Well, yes, he was guilty. He shot him or stabbed him. And then it turns out that that guy wasn't anywhere near where the incident took place. Well, you're a false witness. We have false witnesses.
They're in court if they're found, yeah. If they're caught.
Yes, that is a problem. The law kind of caught on to that fairly early, I think, as far as people doing that. But they're false witnesses. People give false statements. And in today's world, it really is an amazing problem, but it's been an issue for a long time. All right, Jeremiah chapter 23:32. Notice those words. They caused my people to err how? By their lies. Do you think religious people have lied to the people they were teaching? Yes. It's been taking place for a long time. Do you think that you find that still in today's world? People will lie to those that are receiving religious instruction from them. Yes. The motives for that might be many. They might be varied. Maybe we can't always tell what they are. Sometimes it's financial. But it's just amazing that people will do that. Now, touching on something that we talked about earlier. Why might people lie? Genesis chapter 20, verses 1 through 2. Abraham said, she is my sister. Well, that's a little gray, not quite accurate. But what was the fear? I'm going to die. I mean, they're going to take my wife, and that's going to be the end of me. So you still have a lie there. It was an untruth as far as what he was trying to communicate, but you can understand why he did that. Some lie and then say, and this is, I think, a very interesting reference, Proverbs 26, verses 18 and 19. Some lie and say, well, I was just kidding. Let's see what God says about that. Proverbs 26, 18 and 19.
As a madman who casteth firelings, arrows, and death, so is a man that deceiveth his neighbor and saith, am not I his sword?
Okay. Now, if you were just reading that in your own, you might not pause long enough to get the point. But let's look at verse 18 again, Jeff.
As a madman who casteth firelings.
Now think about that. Stop right there. As what kind of man? As a madman who throws what?
Firebrands.
Can you imagine somebody just tossing around torches, or somebody just, maybe not as bad, but somebody tossing around some big firecrackers? That's a crazy man. And yet, what's the comparison? That kind of fella is like the individual who tells something that's not true and just steps back and says, oh, I was kidding. Can you imagine somebody taking a shotgun? I mean, if you've not seen a shotgun or heard a shotgun, they're pretty loud guns. And somebody takes it and just fires it right over the head a couple times. Bang, bang, kaboom, kaboom. And the person jumps out of the skin and you say, oh, I was just kidding. Just having some fun with you. And they think that's the funniest thing in the world. Would say what? You're a crazy man. Well, that's the point in Proverbs chapter 26, verses 18 and 19. So you don't lie to people, and then when you kind of get called on the carpet for it, you say, well, I was just kidding. Just having some fun with you. Everybody does that. No, you don't. There's some things that you just don't do. Anything you want to add or ask? Okay. Let's look to our next section, how God sees lying. 1 John 2, 21, Proverbs 19, 5 and 9, and then Colossians 3, 9. Let's get those verses lined up and we'll highlight the others. 1 John 2:21. Who wants to take care of that? That'll be Gary. And then after that, we'll take a look at Proverbs 19, 5 and 9. Proverbs 19, 5 and 9, Sherman. And then we'll take a look at Colossians 3, 9. Betty, thank you. Let's go back to 1 John 2, verse 21. Here we want to see if God draws a distinction between truth and lies. In our world, sometimes people don't seem to know the difference or don't seem to claim that there's a difference between truth and lying. But let's see what God says. 1 John 2:21.
I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth.
Now think about those words. No lie is of the truth. Did John distinguish between truth and lying? Yes. And he said, if it is of this category, it is not of this category. So it's like light and darkness. If it's this, it cannot be that. Well, that takes us back to what we talked about earlier, right? Remember, who is the father of all lies? Satan. How many lies is he the father of? Every single one. God, on the other hand, Titus 1, 2, Numbers 23, verse 19, God is not associated with lying in any way. That's what man is tied in with. So yes, God does say there's a difference. There's a huge difference between lying and telling the truth. Exodus chapter 20, verse 16. That's one of the places where we have the Ten Commandments. Did God talk about lying when he gave the Ten Commandments? Yes. Where was the lying prohibition? Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Well, what's false witness? Steve answered it earlier. It's being untruthful. It's telling a lie. So when you look at the Ten Commandments, lying was tied in with them. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 11, you have a similar prohibition there. God told his people lying was wrong. And then we now turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 19, verses 5 and 9. Sherman, I believe that's you.
In verse 5, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies will not escape. Verse 9, a false witness will not go unpunished, and he who speaks lies shall perish.
All right, this was the wise man speaking, and he warned that if you are involved with lying, you're going to be punished. You're going to be caught. Don't expect to escape. And that's true. God, we already made the point from Revelation 21, verse 8, all liars. So it's not something that people want to be involved with if they want to fare well with God. Here's what Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verse 9.
Don't lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man
with his doing. Isn't that interesting? He said, don't lie. Why? Because you have put off. Doesn't that line up pretty well with Numbers 23, verse 19? God says, I'm not involved with lying, but people are. It's a characteristic oftentimes of individuals, and Paul says you become a Christian, this habit to one degree or another, the lies that you were used to telling, you have to get rid of that. Then you have, when you look at Jesus, John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way and the lie, and no wait, I am the way and the truth. Isn't that interesting? Could have said the lie, but he said, I am the truth. How often do you think Christ is truthful? All the time, zero lie, zero falsehood associated with him. And then you have, when you start thinking about Jesus and lies and truths, you have that passage over there in Matthew chapter 5, verse 37. And then we have what we have in John chapter 16, verse 13. In John 16, verse 13, Jesus talked about the Holy Spirit. He referred to the Spirit as the Spirit not of error, but the Spirit of truth. Interesting that Jesus says, I'm of the truth, John 14, verse 6. Interesting, he says the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. And then Jesus said, as we communicate with others, let's see what we have in Matthew 5, verse 37. Anybody turn there and ready to read it? Matthew 5, all right, Kitty. Okay. Most of us, I think, know what Jesus is talking about there. You have the small kids. They tell you something, and what do? Put the hands behind the back, and they cross the fingers. And when you say, oh, that's not true, what do? My fingers were crossed. Well, when you're five, that might be one thing. You know, hopefully that habit can be broken. But crossing the fingers, Jesus said, no. That's not a game that adults play. He said, let your yes be yes, let your no be no, and no game playing. No, well, you know, I'll swear on my mother's grave or this or that. Be truthful. Anything that you want to add or ask? Jeff?
You know, as parents, I would say virtually 100% of us at the bottom end of the day is lying to our kids about Santa Claus or Easter Bunny. Mm-hmm. What do you say about that?
I say it's one of the difficulties of parenting. There are some things, and I don't say that facetiously, I say that truthfully. There are some things out there in the world. You have a lot of questions come up. Kids say, well, where do babies come from? You can just start going down the list. And there's probably not a perfect answer. Every parent is going, I put that in sort of in the category of Romans chapter 14, try not to lie to the kids, obviously, in lieu of today's material. But to use the specific ones that you mentioned, as far as the Easter Bunny, there may be some ways, and this is, let me deal with the next section, and then maybe we need to add on a little bit there, but I think part of the question that you asked is going to be answered here. We have some information about Rahab and the spies, Joshua chapter 2, verses 4 through 6. We know the story. She gets asked, you know, the spies here, and she's hidden them, and she lies about where they are, that is, they're in her house, and she sends the people away. Well, people have said, look at that situation and then compare it with Hebrews 11, verse 31, where she's commended. When I was down at Fried Hardeman this past year, the morning Bible class at the congregation I attended, I'm not sure it was the best arrangement, but they had divided the class up into about eight smaller sections. And they had some students leading those discussions. And that may not necessarily be a bad thing, but the students leading these discussions were asked to lead some discussions about some things which were moderately difficult. And this came up. And I just sat back for a little while and listened. And finally, they came to this and said, well, yes, you know, it was perfectly fine to lie. And I'm thinking, whoa, you know, we need some other helpers here as far as people leading these classes. But that was kind of the general gist. And I said, the lie is not commended. What was commended? Her faith. You can have certain activities, and maybe 7 or 8 out of 10 activities would be perfectly fine, but 2 or 3 may not be right. And when you look at Bible characters, they're not necessarily commended for everything that they did, but sometimes a certain activity stands out and is honored, and that's what you have with Rahab. So that's why we have in point 29, it's important to realize Rahab was commended for her faith, not her lie. Now you have, and this is an example, we might look at it if we have a couple minutes left, maybe not. But in 1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 1 through 3, you have God's prophet. It's time for David to be anointed king. And you have God's prophet going, and you have some details there where the prophet is concerned that the anointing process is going to cause Saul to kill him. And that's Samuel. And God said, don't worry. You go, and if you're asked, say that you're coming to offer a sacrifice. Now, there was a lot more to that. But God said, this is what you tell him. And you even have Jesus sometimes. He's giving some information, but the Lord does not give out every piece of information. So going back to your question, Jeff, when you're dealing with things like the Easter Bunny and Santa Claus, one thing that a parent might do is give out some information, but not necessarily disclose all the facts. For example, if you're thinking about Christmas, say, well, you know, people talk about Santa Claus this time of year, and it's a time where people typically receive gifts. And what kind of gift would you like? Now, you might say, well, that's, you know, navigating between some beacons, so to speak, but that's absolutely true. People are talking about Santa Claus when you get to the end of the year. People are giving gifts. What would you like for Christmas? And then maybe in the later years you begin to fill in some more of the blanks. And the same thing with the Easter Bunny. You know, you can be caught broadsided some days and maybe not express that as well as you want. And if you want to say, well, I lied to my child on that occasion, well, it wasn't something that you intentionally tried to convey. But it's probably best to, if you have smaller kids, to think about those things. And when that question comes up, maybe talk about it between the parents, if it's a two-parent home, and say, how specifically do we want to answer this question? Because, as I said, there are kind of a list of questions that are going to come up, you know, about this, that, and the other thing. And there is no obligation to tell everybody about everything. And that, in certain circumstances, could take the form of an untruth or a lie. But unless there is that intent to deceive, we talk about intent being a big part of worship and other aspects of life. And that's also true in communication. There are many times we don't tell everybody about everything, do we? Somebody says, well, what happened today at work? Well, if you're a husband or a wife, do you have to go through and give them a blow-by-blow detail of every 8 or 10, the 8 or 10 hour shift? No. I mean, what are you doing? You've been asked really for the high points, and you understand, what'd you do today at work? Okay, list maybe 5 or 6 things, and these are the items. But because you left out the fact that somebody stepped on a thumbtack, and you know, you gave them a Band-Aid, that doesn't necessarily have to be included. I mean, that might be important to you, and you might want to make that point, but if you leave that out, you're not lying to your spouse. Maybe there was a fire, and that was the big item that got your attention, and that's what you discussed. And then you have, at the bottom, this additional point, you do have sometimes, I listed 1 Kings 22, 20 to 23, and 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 11, where in the Old Testament reference, there was a lying spirit that God used. You have in the 2 Thessalonians reference, people want to lie, and God allows that lie to be sent to them. People wanted to lie. There were some people who were willing to spread that lie, convey that lie, and God permitted that. It wasn't God who was telling the lie, but he allowed people to use their free will, and that free will was used to give people what they wanted. So there are definitely times of that. A couple final thoughts that you have or questions before we shut it down today.
If this topic makes me think of that saying, over a tangled web we weave, and first we try to deceive. I know somebody who has a real problem with spending, and she has a real problem fessing up to her husband. So there's quite a web that is formed covering up the spending that she does.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's been true for a lot of people.